Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Over 60 standing stones have been unearthed in Brittany, and an Iron Age farm is found under an English cattle market. Four 6,000-year-old skeletons have been found in Iran, but sadly, looters are still ravaging ancient Arizona. Also in America, the discovery in Minnesota may be thousands of years old. While in Turkey, a new book sheds light on ancient Çatalhöyük. We see what role climate change played in the creation of civilizations, and a dam is to drown 7,000 years of Iranian history. A rare Bronze Age axe is unearthed in Orkney, in the north of Scotland. And finally, the Keros Enigma has been cracked. About 60 standing stones, some of them nearly 2 meters tall, have been unearthed in Brittany, a few kilometers from Karnak. The standing stones are lying on the ground and date to the early Neolithic period, or around 5000 BCE. The newly found stones are of great interest, mainly because their stone sockets, the holes in which they were placed when standing, are intact. Actually, the megaliths were found under a layer of sediment that had helped to protect them, and inside it were also found pottery shards and pieces of flint. More than half of the 60 stones lying on the 3,000 square metre site have been found intact, while the others have been damaged and removed later to become parts of the country's houses and field walls. Christine Bougeot, archaeologist for the Centre National de Recherche Scientifique, said that among those found intact, 40 stones are 1.5 metres tall, 9 are more than 1.8 metres tall, and 1 is over 2 metres tall. And another surprising detail is that all the stones have been overturned deliberately around 4,000 years ago, with 75% of them aligned on the same northwest-southeast direction. Archaeologists have discovered a prehistoric farm in Somerset in England, under the site of a new dairy and cattle market. The farm, which included 2 houses, compounds and fields, dates back 2,500 years to the Iron Age. Excavations were carried out in advance of building work on a new agricultural centre close to the village of Huntworth. The month-long excavation by Wessex Archaeology was completed at the end of June 2006. Steve Membury of Somerset County Council's archaeology team said that this shows just how important it is to check sites before new developments, as the first clue about the site came from aerial photographs. A geophysical survey and trial trenches then helped to decide where the excavations were needed. Iron Age pottery was found in subsequent digs, as well as a fragment of a baked clay weight, probably from a loom. A replica of such a loom can be seen in the Pete Moore Centre in West Hay. The centre, which is not far from the site, also has a reconstructed Iron Age house that will give a very good impression of what a farm might have looked like at that time. The head of the archaeological group working on Kalakan in Iran said that 4 human skeletons dating back to 4,400 to 4,700 BCE have been unearthed in the province. Excavations at Maleh and Samalkan areas have resulted in the discovery of these 6,000-year-old skeletons. 2 of the unearthed skeletons are almost complete and are certainly adult, while 2 others belong to babies but were damaged during building operations in 1976. The skeletons are now being examined to find out about the burial ceremonies of the era, which can disclose much of the customs of the people of the period. The archaeologist said that the skeletons were buried beneath the floor of a residential building. The excavation of the area was due to be completed before the end of summer. However, given the discovery of the ancient skeletons, the work will continue for a further 2 weeks. Experts fear looting of ancient Native American burial sites in Arizona in USA is on the rise, though Land Department investigator Brad Geek said that there's no hard statistics to track this trend. The rewards, experts say, outweigh the risks. A single intact pot can bring as much as $75,000, though desecrating human remains to get the pot is only a misdemeanor, with a fine of less than $500. Federal and state antiquities laws can bring looters serious prison time on a second offence, but there is no law against excavating pots on private land unless it is associated with a burial site. Despite numerous recommendations to the Register, during the past decade, there still are only two investigators to police nearly 9 million acres of state trust land in Arizona. To help even the playing field, GEIC has turned into aerial surveillance and partnering with non-profit archaeological groups. Pot hunters today are sophisticated, well-organized, and good at discovering archaeological sites and graves. John Madsen, Associate Curator of Archaeology at the Arizona State Museum of Tucson, commented that we know very little about the northeastern Arizonan sites, and the way it's going, we may never know much before it's all been ripped up. He added that in the past, looted pots have primarily been sold through Western stores and other retail outlets. More recently, however, pots and shards are being auctioned off on eBay. Prompted by a developer's plans to dig up a 100-room 14th century Sinagun site near Cornville, about 10 miles northwest of Cottonwood, the Arizona legislature in 1990 passed emergency legislation to stop grave robbers from unearthing Indian burial grounds. The bill made it illegal to knowingly disturb any buried human remains or burial artifacts without permission of the state. But the law is very difficult to enforce. GEIC said the biggest problem is convincing people in communities like St. John's that pot hunting is a crime, and John Madsen added that many people in the area believe pot hunting is a recreation. Personally, I feel that eBay should be responsible for what it sells, rather than just shrugging its virtual shoulders. If it profits from these sales, then it profits from looted cultural artifacts. For the past year, archaeologists have been unearthing pieces of history underneath Fort Ridgely Historic District and State Park in Minnesota, where thousands of artifacts lie below the surface. Most recently, crews have been busily clearing items from the area where construction crews will soon remodel a golf course that runs through portions of Fort Ridgely. In these areas, archaeologists have found many artifacts from the U.S.-Dakota War of 1862 and the actual fort itself, as well as various native artifacts ranging from tools to arrowheads. Last week, however, diggers possibly stumbled upon one of the most significant and oldest finds. They found a hearth or fire pit, which is very likely to be dated between 3,000 to 8,000 years old. After taking samples from the pit, they will look for pieces of charcoal for carbon dating. If tests prove the hearth is archaic, it will be the oldest discovery the archaeologists have found in this area. British archaeologist Dr. Ian Hodder, who is supervising excavations at the 9,000-year-old Çatalhöyük site in Konya in Turkey, has published a book titled Çatalhöyük, The Story of the Leopard, featuring finds from 13 years of work in the area. One of the oldest known settlement areas in the world, Çatalhöyük is a place where signs of human life from the Neolithic age has been unearthed. Excavations at the site have been conducted under Hodder's supervision since 1993. He asks many questions about Çatalhöyük in his book, answering some of them and leaving others to be pursued when excavations and research show further progress. On the back cover of the 295-page book, for instance, he asks why are there no leopard remains among more than 600,000 animal bones unearthed at the site so far, although Çatalhöyük features numerous leopard illustrations. Archaeologist Gülay Sert said that the book puts a new perspective on information known about the Neolithic age. Hodder says in his book that the leopard had significance for the people of Çatalhöyük, since evidence shows that they weren't hunted for food. Numerous leopard figures have been discovered at the site, which, according to Hodder, exemplifies the sacred aspect of the animal itself, an animal respected by the whole of that society. The book put a new perspective also on the generally accepted view that women were superior to men in Çatalhöyük. When formerly it was believed that Çatalhöyük residents treated women as men's superiors and that the mother goddess statue proved this, this book says that they were equal. In the light of recent findings, which provided evidence that both sexes ate the same food and caught the same diseases. One of archaeologists' biggest questions is explaining the origins of civilization. In anthropology, civilization has a technical definition. To qualify as a civilization, a society must have all or most of the following characteristics. That's a city with a large population, a hierarchical social organization, with, say, a king, pharaoh, or president at the top, an economy based on agriculture, monumental architecture, and a system of record-keeping. The earliest civilizations arose in Mesopotamia, Egypt, the Indus Valley, and in northern China. Various theories have been proposed to explain how the social complexity developed and why it developed in some areas and not others. But archaeologists and historians have not formulated any one satisfying explanation. Nick Brooks, a climate change researcher from the University of East Anglia in England, offers his idea in the latest issue of Quaternary International, that the emergence of complex societies coincided with or followed a period of increased aridity, which began 8,000 years ago, but intensified periodically in subsequent millennia. In this view, global climate change caused the profound social changes that have been referred to as the urban revolution. Brooks states that during large-scale droughts, people would have been forced to concentrate in places where water was available. The social consequences of this aggregation included the formation of managerial elites who controlled the distribution of resources and directed the construction of larger monuments to represent and justify their authority. Most anthropologists reject such explanations as too simplistic. The environment, they say, cannot alone determine human responses. But when cultures worldwide adopt similar solutions to similar problems, perhaps it's useful to view civilization as a successful, if not inevitable, response to global environmental changes. The editors of this issue of Quaternary International point out that although no simple rules seem to govern human evolution, it is crucial to try to understand how humans respond to environmental catastrophes. The story of a historical site being damaged due to development projects and dam construction seems never to end. This time it is repeated for the 7,000-year-old site of Mer Ali Farsi in Fars province in Iran, which was partly submerged as a result of inundation of Mulla Sadra Dam. Although Iran's Archaeology Research Center has issued a certificate for carrying out excavations in this historical site, the Ministry of Energy has refused to fulfill its commitments, seeking to immediately inaugurate the dam after its construction was completed. Mer Ali Farsi is one of the most important archaeological sites in Fars province, and archaeological excavations at this site could lead to revealing many facts about the prehistoric period of Fars province. Despite the fact that this site has been identified before the inundation of Mulla Sadra Dam, the authorities of the dam have ignored the need to carry out excavations in the area and have already started to flood the dam. Some parts of the region have already been submerged, and by the start of the seasonal rains in less than 3 months, this site will be drowned in up to 15 metres of water. The archaeologists are determined to carry out excavations in the remaining 3 months to unearth and save as much as they can, and have demanded a $100,000 budget for undertaking the excavations. However, the Ministry of Energy, which is formerly in charge of paying for these excavations, has failed to give a penny, although it has admitted that the site will soon be submerged due to the inundation. Iran has already had bitter experiences due to the construction of dams in different parts of the country in the past, where irreversible damage to cultural heritage has been the price that we have to pay. Men working on peat bank on Orfer in Orkney have unearthed an outstanding example of a late Bronze Age socketed axe, believed to be only the second ever found in Orkney from this date. Michael Watt discovered the 3,000-year-old axe head while spreading peat at the Highland Park's Hobbister peat bank. Initially, it was thought that the peat-encrusted object was an old tractor part, but once its significance was realised, it was passed to Scott Chambers, whose father Jim then took it to the archaeology department in Orkney College. Measuring just 9 centimetres long, the axe head has a socket at one end to which a wooden haft would have been attached, as well as a loop through which leather or twine would have been threaded to keep the head and the haft together. Its condition is remarkable, thanks to the protection offered by the peat over the millennia. Commenting on the find, county archaeologist Julie Gibson said her initial reaction was it was just too good to be true, that it was a real treasure. It's a perfectly preserved example of a socketed axe that looks just the same today as it would have 3,000 years ago. In the Bronze Age, the changes sweeping southern Britain did not seem to catch on in Orkney, where metal goods appear to have remained scarce. This would have ensured they remained objects of great prestige. The artifact will now be sent away for conservation, but it is hoped to return for display at the Orkney Museum. Archaeologists say they have discovered a 4,500-year-old ceremonial centre, the oldest ritual site in Greece. Excavations resumed for a few weeks this summer at the Daskaloi Kavos on the tiny island of Keros, after a lull of nearly 20 years. The problem with the site has been that it was disturbed greatly by looters who made a lucrative trade in the 1960s of the now famous minimalistic Cycladic figurines. As a result, archaeologists could never be sure whether fragments of Cycladic statues which had been smashed were smashed in antiquity or more recently by the smugglers. That puzzle has now been solved by this year's excavation on an undisturbed patch of the site dating to around 2,500 BCE. All the material found was already broken in fragments before it became buried in ancient times. Moreover, the rarity of joining pieces, as well as the different degree of weathering of the fragments, makes clear that they were broken elsewhere and they were brought already in fragmentary form. The puzzle of the broken fragments has been known as the Keros Enigma. The material came from as far away as Naxos, Amorgos, Syros, and probably even mainland Greece. They say that this makes Daskalio Kavos the first major ritual centre of the Aegean prehistory. Archaeologists, led by Colin Renfrew of the University of Cambridge, say they were overwhelmed by the sheer volume of finds. Next summer's excavation is expected to reveal whether there was a sanctuary at Chios, an attempt to find a contemporary settlement on the nearby islet of Daskalio. And once again, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as the UK Heritage Calendar, Library, Guidance Section and Course Calendar as well, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.